This conference is being recorded.
Well, hello and welcome to the Heart Start to Your Week call for Monday, December 10th, 2007. That little pop that you just heard was someone star sixing their phone, which all of you can do that are listening live on the call if you'd like to mute any background noise. And if you're hearing cars go by, I ask for your forgiveness. I am calling in, as I mentioned earlier, for those on the line, from the trenches, having just dropped the team from HeartMath off at the airport here in L.A., where we were presenting HeartMath to the large hospital system here in an attempt to make a difference for a lot of people's lives. And that's the topic for the call for tonight, is the power of the heart to make a difference. One of our taglines that we use here at Fiera. And my name, by the way, is Sheva Kaur, and I'm the CEO of a company designed to train a technology and a system of tools called HeartMath. And so one of our taglines here at Sierra is the power to make a difference in a heartbeat. And that's to make a difference in your own life. And so tonight's call is going to focus on the heart's power to do that. And the heart in you, your power to do that, which I think in many ways has been my greatest goal. Before I found HeartMath, my greatest source of frustration and failure, and subsequent to HeartMath, my greatest sense of fulfillment and joy. And so these Heart Start calls are really a gift that we give here at Fiera back into the community. Just a time outside of time and space for people to come and rest in an oasis of positivity, if you will. And what I'm going to do is just star five this phone so that we're not catching background noise from anyone. And then if you want to ask a question or share a story, these calls are also a time for that. Definitely for you to bring your questions, your inspirations, your challenges. And you can just star six your phone again. We'll unmute you so that you can ask your question. So hold on just one sec. So, again, my name is Sheva, and I've been working with the HeartMath system now for 12 years. And it has, well, completely made a difference in my life within the first couple of weeks of applying the tools and technology, and became a vehicle through which I got to find out about the difference that the heart already made in many people's lives before I ever knew the tools. So that's one of the first things that I want to communicate to you is, as I mentioned, these calls are a gift back into the community, a time when people can come from their busy lives and their stressors and their ups and downs to just rest in the intelligence of the heart, which is everyone's birthright and is accessible and available to everyone, regardless of whether you ever got HeartMath training or not. And that was one of the beautiful gifts that I received from studying HeartMath. At the time that I found HeartMath, just to give you a little bit of background on myself, I had always wanted to make a difference. And, you know, it's hard to say what instills that desire in someone, the desire to make a difference. But I can say that for me, the desire partly came from my own sense of suffering and despair and pain. I was born with a genetic predisposition to stress and anxiety and depression. It ran in the family. And then when I was 7 years old, my best friend was murdered, and I watched this idyllic Colorado suburb of Denver that I was born in, where all the neighborhood kids and those big Catholic families in this neighborhood, you know, kids, there's like 10, 15 kids, some of them even, would, you know, play outside until late at night. That's pretty unheard of now, right? when I could see stars in the sky, that was my curfew to go home. And I took that totally for granted. As a matter of fact, at times when I was a kid, I would even try to push the envelope on that. Oh, can I just have 10 more minutes? I watched this idyllic community of families that would have block parties and kids playing together on the street absolutely shatter when Laura was murdered. Husbands and wives got divorced over the issue of whether her murderer should receive capital punishment or not. Families split apart and moved away. Children weren't allowed to go outside and play outside anymore without supervision, and certainly not when it was dusk or dark. And it was like we'd gone from the Garden of Eden into a living hell. And that detonated a enormous paranoia and fear and depression in me, such that my parents shipped me off to a psychiatrist for the first time, I think, when I was 8 or 9 years old. And I think witnessing the devastation of a community left in me a deep desire to let the world know there was another way and to care for an entire planet I have subsequently experienced in distress. And so born at that time was my desire to make a difference. And though I think it was seeded even earlier than that, that portal of my own suffering led me to have this deep compassion for the suffering of others. And so whatever making a difference means to you, what I'd like to do with this heart start call, as we are often apt to do, is start in the heart. And while these calls are first and foremost an oasis of heart for people just to rest in for an evening, or, you know, to rest in whenever you download this if you're listening to it as a recording. It's also an introduction to me and to what I do and to HeartMath and their science as a little appetizer and an hors d'oeuvre, if you will, of what the science of the heart has shown us about our internal power to make a difference and how we can apply that in a reliable step-by-step methodology to make it real. And so we'll kind of toss that plate of appetizers your way, and if you want the whole feast, I'll also give you some information about how to get more. So let's start in the heart, in the direct experience of this. I want you to just shift your attention for a moment. We're coming from different time zones, different places around the globe. People call into these calls from the UK, and I think the furthest away anyone calls from was India. And just let your attention drop into the area around the heart. If it helps you, you can put your hand there. And just continue to focus your attention on the area around your heart as you let the breath come in through the heart. And out through the heart. Now, I know you're not a fish with gills, so I'm not saying breathe in the heart, but you're letting slow, even breaths. If it helps you to count, you could breathe in for 5, and breathe out for 5, while you maintain the focus of your attention on the area around your heart. And what I want you to do now while you continue that heart focus and heart breathing is just begin to connect with times when you felt that you genuinely made a difference for someone or they genuinely made a difference for you. And rather than focusing on the facts, digits, and details of what was going on at the time. I mean, it's fine to remember that, but focus on how it felt. How did it feel to make a difference in someone's life? Or how did it feel to have someone make a difference in yours? And just breathe that feeling in through the heart and out through the heart. Often on these Heart Start calls, I wait until the end of the call to open up the line for, you know, contributions, stories. But I really feel moved in this moment to if anybody has a story of making a difference that they'd like to share, I'd love to hear it. So just make sure to *6 and mute your phone if you want to share a story. And if making a difference seems far away to you right now, on a piece of paper or in a notebook, I want you to write down in this moment, where do you want to make a difference in the world? Where do you feel a difference needs to be made in your own life or in our world? Anybody have any thoughts about that? Just for yourself, you could write those down. As I was doing that exercise with you, it's funny, the small, minor little things that come to mind. I had been passionately trying to make a difference with my little Mighty Mouse cape on in Nicaragua with street children there, and got severe parasitic dysentery. So this is one of our challenges in our desire as human beings to make a difference in the world. How do we throw a life raft or a life vest to somebody without diving into the ice-cold, choppy waters ourselves and drown, right? That's been a mastery that I've struggled with my whole life, and only through gaining access to my own heart intelligence have I finally been able to fully understand and embody the mastery of. So anyway, I was in Nicaragua and got dysentery, so I'd become violently ill. And I had just come back to the States and was giving a heart math presentation in a mall of all places and hadn't been able to eat for about a week. And so that just the fluorescent lighting of the mall and all the noise and the music and the people, I felt completely overwhelmed. I was using heart math tools myself just to stay calm and centered. And then, you know, it was in a Los Angeles mall, so I got to the parking lot of the mall. And I realized I had no idea where my car was. Now, you got to realize in Los Angeles, everybody here owns a car, at least one, and some people three. And Los Angeles parking lot is not just a parking lot. It may as well be like a stadium, right? You're looking at something that was probably 8 floors with subsections and subdivisions, and I had no idea where my car was. And it was, you know, convoluted stairwells and different L-shaped angles. And I was in the biggest maze, and I was so exhausted. And I stood there, and I was wearing 6-inch heels for the presentation, and my feet hurt. And I was really at the end of my rope. And I was standing there with my ticket, and I must have just looked totally lost and devastated. And I realized I needed to use heart math in that moment, and I did. I used a tool called Quick Coherence. And, you know, in a situation like that, And this, I think, is probably, if I could only communicate one thing to you tonight, it would be this, that compassion makes a difference. Just feeling compassion. And compassion is always accessible. You know, there are many, what we would call, from a heart math perspective, heart feelings. A heart feeling is anything based on heart math science, any emotion that creates an ordered pattern in the heart. It turns out, and this is the key piece of heart math research upon which, like the hub of a wheel around which all the tools and technology and impact in corporations, hospitals, organizations, schools, institutions, individuals, lives hinges, is the fact that heart rhythms, which affect everything going on in our body, because they directly link to the autonomic nervous system, which is influencing 97% of our functioning in the brain, the immune system, the hormones. Heart rhythms affecting and influencing all of that are themselves directly impacted by our emotional responses to life. And that emotions don't just happen to us. Positive feelings are not just serendipity. And negative feelings are not just justified by being victimized by life circumstances, but in fact, there is a point through which emotions can become, if you have skills and tools, a choice. And that those emotions then impact heart rhythms, and get this, they've discovered that the heart's electrical field extends 8 feet beyond the body in an average person. Essentially, if you're sitting next to someone right now listening to this call, you're sitting inside their heart. That sounds a little funny, but you're sitting inside their rhythm, if you will. Well, stress, or that end of the rope despair I was in that Los Angeles parking lot that night, creates a chaotic heart rhythm. You ever been around people where their emotions are contagious, right? You just don't feel good around them. Or someone comes into the office in a bad mood and suddenly it's like black paint's been dropped into the white bucket and everybody's gray. Well, similarly, our positive emotions, not positive like morally good, positive in the sense that they create this order in the heart rhythm, radiate outward far beyond our body and have impact far greater than our words. Sometimes, oftentimes in my own life, I've seen far greater than our financial choices and resources, far greater even than our purchasing power to make a difference. Because the heart penetrates right to the source of what's happening. Now, that's a lot of highfalutin talk. Let's bring it to dysentery in a parking lot. You can't get more practical than that. So there I am, and I was so weak and at the end of my rope that the only thing I knew to do, and this is why compassion is such a powerful tool for making a difference, the only thing that I knew to do was to begin radiating compassion to myself through the Quick Coherence Tool, which we teach in the Beginner Heart Math Workshop. And what happened as a result was not something that I expected, but this was the story that came to my mind, interestingly, when I asked you guys to focus on a time when you made a difference or someone made a difference for you. I started sending compassion to myself, and the next thing I knew, a parking attendant who had been there ticketing cars spotted me and walked towards me and just put his hand on the back of my heart, and he said, "Are you okay? Do you need help?" And all I said was, I don't know where my car was. And he just, it was like he took me under his wing. And the compassion that I had extended to myself moved through him to me. And he took my parking ticket, entered it into his system, which I didn't even realize they tracked where cars were, put me on a little car, which my very sore feet were very grateful for, like a little electric golf cart, drove me straight to my car, and checked off the parking ticket, which meant I didn't even have to pay for parking, and took me by the hand and just said, you take care of yourself, with such concern and genuine, authentic care. I literally felt physically healed inside of that experience, and he made a difference in my life that night. Now, can I prove that me using quick coherence attracted that? Well, not necessarily. Maybe he would have come up to me anyway, but it was a fun little synchronicity and a fun little story, and I have countless stories like that of making the choice to generate compassion on purpose in a situation and seeing the effects of that reverberate like these pebbles dropped into a pond as the ripples of the heart expand out and extend out into the world, and in this case, even rippled back towards me. Now, that was a moment where I consciously applied the heart math tools that I had learned in the beginner course to make that happen. However, as I mentioned to you guys, my desire to make a difference long preceded my knowledge of the heart math system, such that when I was 19 years old, I was working in a war zone in Nicaragua by myself and exposed to extreme danger. Maybe at this time now, I don't know that I would have made the same choice to help in that way, because I've learned since then and even applied since then the heart math tools to war zones ended up working. And maybe I'll share this story if you're interested in a bit about the work I did with women in Afghanistan during the rule of the Taliban. It certainly wasn't safe for me to work with women under the rule of the Taliban in Afghanistan at that time. So I was very grateful to have the tools of the heart to be able to work at a distance, to care for them at a distance, to make a difference at a distance. But at 19, I still saw life as, you know, moving chess pieces around on a chessboard in physicality. And so with all my brazen arrogance, I boarded a plane and began my work with street children in a war zone in Nicaragua. And so I woke up every morning to machine gun fire and Mighty Mouse cape on or not. It wasn't a bulletproof Mighty Mouse cape. So I was kidnapped at gunpoint and went through some very harsh, stressful experiences for a 19-year-old that led me to find heart math eventually because of the post-traumatic stress that I suffered from that. But the post-traumatic stress that I experienced was less about the dangers I had been in and more about the story I told myself that I had failed. You see, I fell in love with those children as if they were my own children. And if you're listening to this call and you have children or you have a pet even, you would never want to expose that child, that loved one, to extreme danger. You would be heartbroken to leave that person or that creature behind without shoes, without clothes, without food, without medical care in a war zone with no means of taking care of themselves. So it was my passionate desire to help these children and to help them get off the streets. And when finally, because I was exposed to so much danger that I was in jeopardy and needed to leave, street kids didn't have pagers, phones, fax machines, or even mailing addresses. There was no way for me at that time to stay in touch with them. And so given that, I felt that I had abandoned my own children in the most dangerous scenario in life and left them to fend for themselves. And in that, I felt that I had been a failure. And so I tortured myself daily with the stress of feeling that I had failed them. Now, if you're a parent, there's probably little things that you feel that you failed at in your parenting, and that bleeds your energy. It stresses you out. And we know from the heart math research that that level of stress, that at its core, it's a desire for our love to have impact, isn't it? Our desire to make a difference in the world is our desire for our love to palpably have impact. And yet, when it becomes guilt or self-judgment, perfectionism, worry, instead of our love having impact and making a difference, it turns into toxins, to poison in our own system. Worry, stress, anxiety, overcare, guilt, perfectionism, all these things that I felt then scramble the heart rhythm. They create static in it. And the brain that's been discovered in the heart, the unique intelligence there that is an intelligence that knows how to make a difference, that is an intelligence that connects to others and intuitively, via the heart being a connection. You realize, you know, you can't do brain transplants, right? But you can do heart transplants. There's a train going by the way. A freight train of momentum, of making a difference in the world. I don't know if you guys can hear that in the background. So this intelligence that's been discovered in the heart, you know, the heart is the first organ to form in the fetus. And it's by the heart stopping that we declare death. You can live brain dead, but you can't live heart dead. And yet, so here it is, the first organ to form, the place we point to when we point to ourselves. And yet it's interchangeable. We can trade hearts. Well, without being overly assumptive, the heart has an intelligence that is connected to others, that is connected to the whole. And so when we want to make a difference in the lives of others or in the world, the knowledge and intelligence of the heart that we might call intuition can guide us like a GPS how to achieve that end. Well, I wasn't connected to that GPS when I was 19 because, to tell you the truth, I was in it also for my own aggrandizement, for my own vanity. And that egomaniacal purpose for serving and making a difference was a form of stress that created worry, anxiety, perfectionism, guilt, that scrambled my heart's rhythm, literally created chaos in it. And as we mentioned, that extends beyond us. Who we're being is how we are serving or not. So as my stress ricocheted out, making the lives of those around me more difficult and making me physically ill, even inside of that, the love that I'd had for those children remained. It was that love that gave me the courage to live in that situation. I'm not a particularly courageous person, but I loved those children. I just loved them. They taught me far more than I ever taught them. 8 years it took me to find heart math, to unwind the static and tangle of the harsh self-criticism that I had created over leaving children behind in that situation and feeling like a failure. And so little by little, I learned how to transform that anxiety and stress, that self-hatred, into love and appreciation for those children and into a life lived from care rather than over-care. When care gets carried too far, instead of making a difference in the world, we make a mess in ourselves. And so as I learned how to transform that guilt into love and compassion for myself, there it is. I'd always had compassion for the children, but I learned how to transform the guilt into compassion for myself and appreciation for that core part of me that really did love them and wanted to make a difference. It healed my own body. My symptoms of post-traumatic stress went away. I had severe symptoms. I had gone into early menopause at age 20. So that reversed. And I was able to go off my antidepressant medication and launched on a whole new track of service in med school and Oriental Medical School and herbology, and really felt that even if I could only help one person at a time, making a difference in that small way honored these kids that had changed my life. But what I didn't know is that the heart math science, that heart feelings like love and compassion create order in the heart and order in our world, remain true whether you knew the tools or not. And so 5 years after learning heart math, about 12 years after leaving Nicaragua for the first time, I received a phone call in my acupuncture office in Los Angeles saying, "Do you remember Julio and Raquel and Jorge?" Well, I just about dropped the phone. Of course I remember them. Every day I sent them love and care. I'd actually assumed that they had died in the hurricane that hit Nicaragua after I left. But I still was vigilant about transforming my guilt of that into love for them. And here was this voice saying, "Do you remember them?" "Of course I remember them. Would you like to speak with them?" They're right here. Well, those kids had kept that little piece of paper that I'd given them when I was 19 with my name and my Canadian phone number on it. And from that, once the internet took shape, they tracked me down on the internet 12 years later in Los Angeles to let me know that the coherence, the order of the love that I'd had for them for a six-week period in 1989 had completely changed the outcome of their lives. It bleached the black paint white again. They held on to that love, and it created more order in them. So unlike their sisters and brothers and friends that were living on the streets and ended up in prostitution and crime to survive, the love, having an experience of someone care for them, knowing that someone in the world loved them, sustained their internal order such that with a small amount of resources I left with them, they got themselves off the streets. And Jorge, if you've received the invitation to tonight's call, you read an interview with Jorge, took those resources and held that internal order and commitment, and became a psychologist, went to school, became a psychologist, and when he found me again, was the head of an orphanage with many children under his care and a daughter named after me. Well, when I received that phone call and I went back to Nicaragua and I saw all this, I got to see that the heart is powerful and always was. That all the while that I thought being the operative word, that my mental story was that I had failed. The compassion that I'd felt for these children and the love that I had for them was in and of itself enough. I was 19. I wasn't wealthy. I didn't leave them with a lot of resources. The resource I left with them was my love for them. And we know from the internal order that the heart creates inside us and inside those we care for, that that has profound impacts on the brain and had profound impact on the brain development of these children, such that my care for one child in Jorge has now extended to care for hundreds of families and thousands of children in Nicaragua. In his desire to pay that forward. And had I not learned heart math, and it gives me chills to say this to you all tonight, I never would have discovered that. I can't prove that it was heart math that was the string of love that led those kids to find me again. They may have done that anyway. But what I know is that when I found HeartMath, I was suicidal. I was ready to kill myself. Not even antidepressants could heal the sense of pain I felt being responsible for those children's misery. I can't tell you why I took that on as my own responsibility, but I did. And I wanted to die myself because of my sense of failure. In learning how to transform that depth of despair into care for myself and our world through compassion for myself. You see, this is why compassion is, to me, the most potent energy to access, the most potent feeling. Because no matter how destitute you are or a situation in life is, it can be hard to access heart feelings like joy or gratitude, appreciation, love, for situations that we abhor. And it's usually those situations that we most want to make a difference in. And then our desire to make a difference becomes either an overcaring, doting desire to fix something, which is really an undercurrent of judgment towards it. And that doesn't feel good to anybody. Or we just resign. Or we try to make over the situation, sweep it under the carpet, and put on a happy face, knowing, as it's sort of blatant knowledge out there now, the secret is not so secret. It's more like a blatant concept that, okay, well, at least it's better to be happy, so let's just be happy. But sometimes then we miss our power to make a difference because we don't confront head on, or maybe more appropriately, heart on, what's really going on. It's a denial of the power in the heart to truly, in a quantum way, that seems to transcend time, space, and linear reason, which is good news because we have situations on this planet right now that need a difference in a way that don't have time if it were to need to happen in a linear, progressive fashion. We need a quantum shift, and the heart has the power to do that. In a heartbeat, it can occur. A shift from total chaos into order, from despair into true potency. And compassion is always accessible. So if you can't get into a state of appreciation or joy or gratitude or even care for someone when they've pissed you off, at the very least, you can access a state of compassion for yourself, for those who are hurting from the situation. In my advanced class, that's homework for people. They have to find compassion for world leaders that they despise. Compassion is always available. So let's take a moment right now and just drop your attention again where we started the call, into your own heart. Let the breath come in through the heart. And out through the heart. Again, if it helps you, you could put your hand there. And take note of one of the places in your own life that you want to see a difference made. Maybe it's a health concern you have, or a body image issue, or a financial issue. Where is it you want to make a difference in your own life? Maybe it's a relationship. And just take a moment to step back from that situation and radiate compassion first to yourself, like me in the parking lot. Compassion to yourself that you're in the situation to deal with this. Not pity, not sympathy, but genuine care for yourself. My company, Fira, that trains these tools is a startup, and so I've invested my own savings in launching this company and getting it off the ground, and out of a deep knowing that this is my service to the world and my joy, my gift to myself to be able to share this with all of you. And And yet at times the financial struggle of running my own business is exhausting to me. And it's only because I have tools to manage my emotional accounting and my energy accounting that I've been able to stay with it in these early days. I can totally see why 95% of businesses shut down due to owner burnout and hopelessness within the first 5 years. I really get that, and it's using these heart math tools. And the other day I was just radiating, doing exactly what I'm doing with all of you right now. I sent compassion to myself. And what emerged was, there's another train going by. What emerged was this sudden sense of genuine gratitude, appreciation, and awareness even at how much I've been able to accomplish with so little. It's just one example of a transformation where I'd been, again, judging myself. I'm not doing enough. I'm not good enough. That turned into genuine self-appreciation. Well, I'll tell you, that might not have made an immediate difference in my bank account, but it sure made a big difference to my energy level. It made a huge difference to my energy level. And we can explain that through heart math. We know that one shift in emotional perspective that I made increased my immune function, made me less likely to get sick. Well, that's going to give me more energy to help my business go where it needs to. We know that it increased my cognitive function, so it opened higher perceptual centers of the brain, centers of vision and creativity and planning. So that's going to help me be more innovative and creative and have a more strategic vision in my business. Not to mention increasing my anti-aging hormone so that it'll let me live long enough to see my business flourish. Right? So now I want you to, again, refocus your attention on the area around your heart. And let the breath come in through the heart and out through the heart. And now I'd like you to focus your attention while you maintain your focus on the heart on an area in the world that you'd like to see a difference made. You know, 30,000 children die each day of starvation when we have enough food to feed the world. That's profound to me. And before encountering heart math, I would try to make change in that and overcare about it so much that I'd burn out and just get to a place where I just couldn't be bothered to care at all. I wouldn't even think about it on a daily basis. Well, now I know with heart math tools, one of the first things I do when I wake up in the morning is I send compassion to people who are hungry. I'll tell you, it makes me appreciate my breakfast a lot more. But I know from the experience of radiating compassion through my heart that it does make a difference. We can even see this on the technology that HeartMath created called the M-Wave, where you can actually literally see the shift in your own heart rhythm. And it's a fun thing to play with because you will start to see shifts in your life. So just in this moment, allow yourself to access, again, not worry, not judgment, not criticism, just compassion for everyone that's involved in whatever the situation is that you'd like to see a difference made. And extend that compassion outward to yourself and to them. And just notice, like, how does it feel? What happens to you? Are there changes in your body? Do you get any flashes of insight or new ideas? How does it feel to just send compassion? We know when you do that, that it's impacting over 1,400 responses in your physiology. And it's a lot of things that shift. So at the very least, doing that makes a difference for your own health, your own well-being. But I have many reference points for how that also makes a difference in the world. You may have read Jorge's story in the email that went out today. I mentioned earlier in the call women in Afghanistan. When I first found out what was happening with them there under the rule of the Taliban, that women were being stoned to death just for bearing an ankle or a wrist in front of their own children, I was horrified. Devastated. I'm sure we could turn the evening news on tonight and there'd be something going on in the world that all of us could be horrified and devastated by. I avoided the evening news for a long time after I got back from Nicaragua because of that, and once I learned HeartMath, I go to CNN.com every night now because it's a flagship for me to know where do I send my compassion tonight. So at that time, with what was happening with women in Afghanistan, every day I came into my home because for whatever reason they elicited an enormous sense of compassion. And I just used a heart math tool again that we teach in their intermediate course called attitude breathing. So I used the heart to send them compassion while I was moving through everything that I did during my day in my house, whether it was answering emails or washing my dishes or making my bed. And I never expected to see a tangible result to this. I didn't ask for that, and I didn't need to, because I'd already seen that even uneducated, stupid love, idiot compassion that I'd given children in Nicaragua as a teenager that was interwoven with worry and overcare and ego still made a difference. So I knew that my refined, intended compassion was getting there. But I never expected what happened. A week after this occurred, after I started doing this, three Afghan youth who'd been the first to smuggle cameras under their burqas into Afghanistan and take footage of what was happening to women there had been taken to Sundance Film Festival to reveal this footage and were on a layover in Los Angeles on their way back to their refugee camp in Pakistan. And they stopped into my herbal pharmacy to get herbs for their zits, of all things. So there I felt like, I felt so gifted by this heart magic that I got to help these Afghan women, Afghan teenagers with their zits. But it grew into something much more than that, into a story that's been selected for a Chicken Soup for the Soul, the next Chicken Soup for the Soul that's coming out. Which is another, I have to say, another fruition of a heart's desire to make a difference, because I wanted people to hear this story and know the power of their hearts to change lives and to change our world. So I started emailing. We emailed each other back and forth, these girls and this young man and I, and they had my letters about the heart and its power translated into three Afghan languages and smuggled them into Afghanistan. And I got a letter back, several letters actually, but one from a woman named Fauzia, who I was in touch with for a few years. And Fauzia had gone, like many women, to buy a cleaning fluid used for house cleaning that could also be taken as a poison. And she was going to kill herself the day after my letters arrived. And she wrote me and said that she was going to kill herself and her three daughters, and that my letters saved her life. Well, I knew it wasn't the letters, but the letters had traveled on all the compassion that had been sent through the heart. The heart is so powerful. It can manifest things across time, across space, in impossible circumstances. She said when she read my letters, then she knew that someone in the West knew what was going on and cared, and that she would survive this. Your care, your compassion changes the world. And I think that's enough for me to say tonight. I can get off my soapbox by the train station. I would love to open up the call if any of you have questions. Mary Sue mentioned that she's just joined the at the beginning of this call that she's just joined the beginner class. There is a beginner heart math webinar that's underway right now. It continues tomorrow evening, Tuesday, from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. Although it's not too late to join that class if you'd still like to. The first class in that series was recorded and is accessible on our website as a gift. So if you want to learn more and you want to learn a heart math tool to access more of what I've been talking about, you can still do that for free by going to www.fiera, F like fantastic, YERA.com/heart/. And that will take you to the online movie where you can see the first night of the beginner webinar. And if you watch that between now and tomorrow evening at 5 p.m. Pacific time, and it lights a fire of passion and compassion under your butt and your heart, and you want to learn more, you can call me at 310-581-1507 to register for that class. We also have private coaching, and there will be more classes in the future if you're listening to this as a recording. And if you have questions and you're listening to this as a recording and therefore are not able to ask them live, you can also email me, Sheva, S like Sam, H, E like elephant, V like victory, A, at Fiera, F like fantastic, YERA.com. So I'm going to open up the line now. If anybody has a question or a story you'd like to share, just press. I don't think that's a word. Press *6 to unmute yourself. Well, if no one has any questions or any stories they'd like to share, why don't we end in the heart? We often like to end these calls by paying it forward. So what better night to pay it forward than on the call about making a difference with the heart? So just go ahead and shift your attention again to the area around the heart, allowing the breath to come in through the area and out through the area of the heart. And allow yourself to disconnect for a moment, whatever first comes to your mind. Where would you like this oasis to extend? Maybe some place in the world, maybe someone you love or someone close to you. Just radiate your compassion, your care, and anything that you may appreciate that you've received tonight to that person or that place or those people. Well, I definitely want that to extend to those of you who listened this evening. I hope you got value from it and enjoyed it. And if you'd like to receive reminders and call-in information for future free calls, you can sign up for that at fiera.com on the homepage in the upper left-hand corner. And you can also access all of our archived Heart Start calls to download to your iPod. I get emails from people in the middle of the night, oh, I listened to this call at 3 a.m. when I couldn't sleep, or I put it on my iPod when I go hiking, I listen to them. You can do that at www.fiera.com/heartstart.html. So, and any feedback you have for me about how I and Fiera, my company, can be making more of a difference in your life or your community, I welcome, because that's our passion and our compassion. Good night, everyone. Thank you so much.